message too. I mean, the week two for this morning revival, which is recent Memorial Day conference in Seattle, Washington. What about we all read the title of this week two?
Yes.
Amen.
We are
crafting life. Amen. I feel like this is the topic this week is really good continuation from last week. Last week we covered the intrinsic significance of Christian life, right?
Amen.
And I remember a brother mentioned that actually there's two aspects or two definitions for Christian life. Life, this term itself, and first aspect can be referred to the inward divine life inside of us, which the Lord gave us, the divine life. And also, on the other hand, it can also refer to the outward living, the Christian living. And actually, these two aspects is pretty much related to one another, because in order for us to live such an outward Christian living, Christian life, we need to have this divine life inside of us.
Yes.
So Roman numeral 1 says that as believers in Christ, we should live a creative life. We need to be attention. We need to focus on this creative inward life.
Amen.
So that we can live this our Christian living. But you know, sometimes fighting our old concept, at least for myself, I would make myself an effort to live such a life. I want to be a better brother. I don't want to miss any meeting. I want to read as much Bible as I need to. But this week's message really ushered myself into a reality that we need to be attention to this life. And after we enjoy this creative life, all the our conduct and behaviors will be taken care of spontaneously. So we continue to Roman numeral 2, says that the Bible reveals that the relationship God desires to have with men is that he and man become one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that the relationship between the Lord, God, and ourselves is no longer the creator and the creatures. The Lord wants us to join to him by grafted into his life.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that the he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
It is on God's heart. He wants us to be joined to the Spirit. He wants us to be mingled with him and to mingle as just one.
Right.
And continue to Romans 3. Actually, the message shows us so clear that how does the grafting work, right? Roman numeral 3 serves as a prerequisite before we can participate in this grafting. It says, in grafting, two similar lives are joined and then grow together. So for grafting to happen, these two, like two vines, two plants need to be similar, right? You know, back in Taiwan, my parents, they grafted two cherry trees together. But, you know, because they are same kind of plants, right? They both are cherry trees. So they can be grafted together. And praise the Lord, we share the same life with God. Right? In Genesis 1:26, God created us in his image and his likeness so that we can be grafted into him.
Amen.
And Romans 4 is the main burden of this message. It says, in order for us to be grafted into Christ, he had to pass through the processes of incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection.
Amen.
So, for the branches to be grafted, both need to be cut, right? And, you know, so from the Lord's side, he needs to be cut, and from our side, we need to be cut as well.
Amen.
But, you know, in God's head, there is an unapproachable, untouchable light. As a Godhead, he cannot be cut, but he loves us so much, so he stepped out his glory. He became a lowly man, just like you and me. That's his incarnation, so that in his human born, he can be cut. And when did he be cut? He is when he was on the cross, when he died for our sins, he was crucified for us, and at the time he was cut. So from our side, when we were cut, when we repent, when we believe into the Lord, and you know, I was so appreciated that, you know, when the Lord was died on the cross, he did not stop there. He continued to resurrect, ascend, and become the life-giving spirit.
Yeah.
Whenever we turn and we repent to the Lord, immediately we can draw the riches from this healthy vine, healthy branches,
Amen.
By enjoying this life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So
yes.
I also really appreciate that what kind of love that motivates the Lord to go through this process
right.
in order that we can enjoy be grafted into Him.
Amen.
So Roman numeral 5 continues, says that as regenerated ones, we should live a grafted life, a life in which the parties are joined to grow organically. So like just I mentioned, the life-giving spirit is already ready. It's ready for us to enjoy.
Amen.
So we need to just be open vessels, we repent, believe into the Lord, and then the life-giving spirit spontaneously to flow into us. So, you know, when the two plants are grafted together, the weak one can draw the riches from the healthy one.
Well,
that's us, right? After
yeah.
we grafted into the Lord, we can draw all the riches from
that's
this
right.
divine life. This is our benefits. This is our privilege. So continue to Roman numeral 6, and this 6 really blows my, this point really blows my mind, and really, it's just so fresh that the grafted life's not exchange life, but the mingling of the human life with the divine life. You know, the outline also says that, and it's talking to me that the concept we have is we yield our human life and be replaced with this divine life. But it says that instead of exchanging, there is a dispensing, infusing of the divine life, and a mingling of the divine life with human life.
Amen.
You know, God treasures how He created, right?
Right.
He never wants to throw away our whole, like, characteristics, personalities, or talents. But on the other hand, He wants to see the uplifting. You know, in the beginning, it's not easy for me to understand, but there's an example comes to me that, you know, among us, there's so many brothers and sisters, they are very talented, playing instruments, playing piano, guitar, you know, but the Lord never want us to, you know, just to despise, to reject all these talents or, you know, strength, but instead, He wants to purify it, He wants to uplift it.
Yes.
And eventually, all these things can be used by Him and for
right.
His building up of the church and
yeah.
for become the blessings to the church. So, you know, the Lord really wants to mingle Himself. He wants to infuse His divine life into us so that it's not exchange life, but it's a life with uplifted, strengthened, and enriched by the divine life, which is Roman numeral 7. So we need to forget about self-introspection, self-improvement,
right.
because, you know, in our natural concept, we want to do our best to live this such a Christian life. But this week's burden is really encourage us to be an open vessel, because the Lord is an operating one inside of us. So I think I'll stop here, and this week's topic is really subjective, experiential.
Amen.
So since we need your portion, we need to strengthen us, how
Amen.
You draw the riches from this rapture of life we all
Amen.
Maybe we can start with a 3 minute each.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I feel like we should never take for granted that, like,
yes.
we live in an organic union with the Lord.
Amen.
I think I'm always impressed realizing it's not an exchanged life. Like, right. It's a grafted life.
Amen.
Even I was lucky to see, like kind of similar to David's example, I saw some saints who had plants, like they grafted like apricots, stone fruits, like nectarines, because they're all the same type. They're made kind of same. They're just grown in the same genus, family. Yeah, yeah. And actually, they just enrich each other. And one of the ones that get grafted in, they actually end up sweeter. Even they get uplifted. I was considering like when we consider how we can live our lives, it's like sometimes we might default to like, what would Jesus do, or like what would that person do? And it's like. It's like in itself, it doesn't seem like it's too much of a problem. But then we consider, but we're living in an organic union with the Lord, right? We're in a grafted life, so it's not about what would I do, like to be like that person. But actually, it's just that person. Actually, we're grafted into this person, right?
Amen.
We're grafted into Jesus, and so it's like actually Jesus, our living in and with Jesus is Him just uplifting actually our. Our human virtues, our human characteristics, because it's actually His human characteristics and virtues that are living through us. And so it's one life. It's not our life trying to be like another life. Actually, the lives are one. They've been mingled together. And so what does this mean? It's like, and so whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, whatever situation we're in, we should remember that we are in an organic union with the Lord.
Yes.
And I think something that's helped me a lot, I really appreciate the verses that are brought out this week. You know, rather than defaulting to trying to imitate something, actually we have John 15, right? Actually, we can abide in Him.
Amen.
And then practically, this is how we can realize this grafted life together with Him, right? And so when we're in these situations, so, you know, it can be really hard, but it's like instead of considering, what would this person have done in this situation? But actually, we can just turn inwardly because we're grafted together. It's like we can just ask the Lord, Lord, like, what are you doing in this situation? What are we going to do in this situation? Because our lives are actually one. And I think this is just such a precious thing that all of our interactions can actually be intimately involved with the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be these two separate things, but actually it's just one life.
Amen.
Concerning the grafted life, you know, and this, we know that this is a union, right, of two lives, where the Lord is little by little, joining. We're already joined to Him, objectively, but in an experiential way, it's a long process.
Yes.
And so I was reading, you know, The Overcoming Life by Watchman Nee, where he's saying, you know, and it sounds contradictory and it's hard to explain, that the life in the Lord is actually, you say, an exchange life, in the sense that I cannot overcome, you know. And even I spoke to a brother once and this and that. No, you cannot overcome. And you're never going to overcome. So you need to stop trying. Just stop trying, right? Because only one overcomes, right? Because it's only that highest life, the life of the Lord that is in us.
Right.
Okay? That life is in us upon from regeneration.
Amen.
But so how do I live a union with the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, it says in, you know, we... It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So Christ who lives in me, and I no longer live. So where am I? And the life that I now live, so I'm still living, I live in faith, right? In the faith of the Son of God. In faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So then what is it? So where am I? Okay, I'm still here, and I'm still in the flesh. And so don't tell me that it is no longer I who live, because I'm still living. So I live in faith. Where is that faith? So it's the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
So, and you know, the Watchman Nee says in the other book, you have to just move aside. You have to move out. He actually says, you have to move out. So it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of who is living.
Amen.
Am I living or is the Lord living?
Amen.
So who is living and you know, so this grafted life thing is not as simple as we make it think, because in my personal living, you know, it says, I am crucified with Christ. So my life is crossed out. Okay?
Yes.
Right? So thy life in the flesh, I live this life in the flesh. It's never going to go away until the Lord takes me and we're glorified with Him. But as long as I'm living on this earth, I am very much living. But I have to be living dead, where the Lord is allowed to live.
Right.
So I, in a sense, do have to move out. So it's not an exchange life, but in a matter of speaking, it is. I got to get out of the way so the Lord can live.
Amen.
You know, in Ephesians, it tells us, you know, that we have to pray to the Lord that He would make His home in our hearts through faith. You know, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are. And all of this is so that the Lord can live. So the Lord needs to live through me, and I need to move aside, not exchange, but I'm still there. So, in a sense, you know, the Lord, every day to understand this a little bit more. And it's not even just understanding, it's living it. So it's a matter of who is living.
Amen.
So in a sense, exchange, out, crossed out, and dead. I'm still there, but dead. So how does that, you know, so anyway, it just is something that I've thought about a lot.
Amen.
And I talk to the Lord about it a lot. And so it's very present within me. So anyway, this matter of the grafted life, to me, is very complex.
Amen.
Ethan's going to help with timing. I really appreciated what Sister mentioned, that this is a process.
Amen.
I'm really glad we sang hymn 152. Mm-hmm. This last stanza, what from thee can separate me?
Amen.
Thou will love me to the end.
Amen.
And this, of course, is from Romans chapter 8. The question, sometimes the word gives us a question. And in a sense, we kind of know the answer already.
Yeah.
Who can separate us from the love of Christ?
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
I'm so appreciative that in the picture of grafting, you know, where the two lives are cut, actually that point, that contact, you could say, is done in love. Right? When the Lord was cut on the cross, why? It's because He loved us. He chose us in love. And when we repented, we received that life into us, it's because we loved Him, right?
Yes,
we saw what He did for us. And so when these two lives are joined together, that joining is really, you could say, in the context of love. And I really appreciate that, you know, these two lives, in a sense, yeah, it's similar, but it's also, there's a poorer life, right? I think in Romans, you know, we shared this, that it's a wild olive tree. Right? Sometimes I look at the mirror and look at myself, Lord, why would you want me to be grafted into you? You know, there's nothing special about me. But yet, because the Lord loves us, right? He chose us and He went through this process. And now, 1 Corinthians 6:17 is a wonderful verse. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
That means there's no separation, right? And we really just need to exercise our spirit and to enjoy this life. And then lastly, I just want to share, you know, in the Old Testament, there's also an aspect of this in Leviticus. When the priest lays his hand on the offering, I'll just read this footnote. You know, the laying of hands signifies not substitution, but identification.
Amen.
It's a union.
Amen.
And so when we lay our hands on Christ as our offering, we are joined to Him. He and we become one.
Amen.
And then this is really what I appreciate very much. In such a union, all of our weaknesses, defects, and faults are taken on by Him.
Amen.
And all His virtues become ours.
Amen.
So sometimes when we think of grafting, we just think, oh, you know, I'm enjoying the better life, which is true. But the other aspect is, actually, all of our, you know, we brought some weaknesses.
Yes.
We brought some fault defects. And that got grafted into the richer the olive tree.
Amen.
And so what a wonderful fact that the Lord will want us to be grafted into Him.
Amen.
Oh, saints, if we see this, oh, we would just enjoy the Lord more. To allow this life to come and saturate us, permeate us, so He can really live through us.
Amen.
I also wanted to share from that same footnote, Leviticus 1:4. And it says, you know, in such a union, all our weaknesses, defects, and faults are taken on by Him, and all His virtues become ours. This requires us to exercise our spirit through the proper prayer so that we may be one with Him in an experiential way. And what I appreciate is when we do this, when we lay our hands on Christ through prayer, the life-giving Spirit, who is the very Christ on whom we lay our hands, will immediately move and work within us to live in us a life that is a repetition of the life that Christ lived on, the life of the burnt offering. And so what I appreciate is, as we, and you know, in J6, it says, we may feel that our life is full of germs and therefore like it to be replaced by the divine life. This may be our way, but it is not God's way in His economy. Actually, His way is for Christ's life to swallow up all the defects, shortages, and germs within us. So the more we tell the Lord Jesus that we love Him and we want to be one with Him, the more we will experience the killing power in the spiritual antibiotics. So again, it comes down to saying, Lord, I love You. But then, His virtues become ours. And so I was just considering, what does this look like? This looks like our interactions in our daily living with either our family members, with our co-workers, all of these things. Actually, as we're learning to abide in the vine,
yes,
and live this grafted life, there's an issue that comes out. And that is actually the repetition of the life that Christ lived on the earth. And I was just very touched this past Friday in our small group meeting about the Lord Jesus being a man full of compassion. And I was sharing an experience that I had with one of my children. He just made me so angry. And I just wanted, and I was right, and he was wrong. You know? But, you know, the more I just tried, you know, like the more I tried to uphold my own authority, it was just like, it was just pushing him away. And the Lord just touched me. And I was just like, the Lord is a man full of compassion.
Right.
And so actually, like, the Lord, and I just, you know, it's like sometimes you don't even know if it's the Lord or it's yourself, but that's the grafted life, right? We're just learning to live one life with the Lord. And so I was just, you know, something just stopped me from, like, continuing down this path of that was not good. And, you know, instead, like, I just was able to offer Him my compassion. You know, it wasn't me because I was so upset. But that just opened the way for, you know, for the reconciliation between me and my son. And I just, you know, like, the virtues of the Lord, you know, He's a man full of tenderness, of compassion, of mercy, of love. All of these virtues, human virtues and the divine attributes, will have a way to be lived out through us. As we practice laying our hands on Him, right?
Hey.
We're just full of germs, shortages, and defects. But the Lord, you know, as the Spirit, we're learning to be joined to Him, one Spirit with Him, so that He can live again in us and through us.
Amen. Amen. This week, wow. The principle of the Christian life basically is Christ as our organic salvation, right? We've been already redeemed, went through the judicial salvation. Now is the organic salvation we're going through now, right? And I'm not a farmer. I'm not really an expert, but I like to experiment, try, plant, and all this. Some works, some doesn't work. You know? So there is a tree. I have three trees in my yard. Fig tree. So what I did, I cut a branch because I wanted to have it. I have only one, but I wanted to have more. I wanted to plant more. So I cut the branch from the tree, from the fig tree, and I put it in a, they told me, I saw a video, right? I put it on the soil, right? Put some things, fertilize it, and it started growing, and so now I got two extra trees, right? You know, the fig tree typifies religion. So for many years, I was a Protestant, Catholic, Pentecostal with my family. We were growing along, basically. Like this fig tree branch, you know, we became religious, you know, and This is the thing that sometimes is not like the grafting, it's different. Grafting is two branches joined together, right? I was growing by myself, my wife by myself. We had no fellowship with others, you know. And this is what happened in Christendom, in Christianity. We grow, you know, we become religious. We're growing like the fig tree, right, alone, with one branch cut. But in this grafting life, it's the Lord is being grafted to us. You know, we are in union. You know, I never tried that. I think I tried once, but it didn't work. I didn't know how to do it, right? But you see, this is a weak tree that is about to die. We are the weak tree, right? We have the weak tree branch. It's sick with a lot, with the sinful nature we're born with. And then the farmer cuts this, right? Basically, it's the grafter is the Father using Christ, right? And it's this branch has been cut and then into attached to the healthy tree, which is the Lord himself, the vine, right? It's attached, but it has to be the same species. You try to graft one species, for example, I was talking to Mel about that in the car. If we try to graft, let's say, a grape tree with a mango tree branch, it doesn't work. Different species. But we are the same species according to Genesis 1:26, right? We were same image and likeness. So it had to be the same. We all different though, right? We all different, but attached to one tree, we have this use entering into us that we're infected. We are fallen human beings. It's infected and we are with this juice from the good tree, which is the Lord himself. He lifts up all the things that he gave us, all the virtues, because we have all his virtues and attributes, but humanly speaking, natural, right? But we have the potential. All these virtues have the potential to reach his attributes, his virtues. But we need to what? We need to eat. First, we need to deny the self. If we don't deny the self, you know, even though we're still going to live here, like sister said, we're still in this body, right? But we need to deny this self for this juice to enter into us, this life, so we can grow. I love this verse. My favorite, one of the favorite verse here. It's Romans 6:5. For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. But the key point is what? Grow together.
Amen.
That's the key point.
Hallelujah.
To grow together. But we need to first deny ourselves and come to the Lord and eat every day. Amen.
Wow, thank you for this verse. Romans 5, he says, if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow, this verse really saved my life during this week. Because I checked the King James. He didn't use the grow together. He used the plant. King James translated is a great word to plant together. That means organic union. But he still used plant. But in here, he wrote the process. He turned out the grow together. Wow, what a good message for us. You know, I have the same problem with Esther, you know. Every time I see my three grandchildren, I say, wow, Lord, you continue punish me. Oh, Lord, all this situation, they mad, nasty, you know. Just like my childhood, you know. I always forget, but then they come out again, you see. Every time they mad, nasty, just like Oliver, just like me.
Oh, Lord.
You know, just like me, the tricky ones, just like I used to cheat my father. I said, wow, why this fallen nature always there? But hallelujah, says God for this organic union. Amen. Then they really need the Lord. They need to baptize. They need to have a new life. They need a cut. I think this grow signifies the continued growing. Wow, you see, gradually, now the Benjamin 11 years. Wow, I see day by day is growing. It's, oh, hallelujah! Thanks for this organic union. We have this organic union life.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for this organic union life. I was preparing and enjoying like the week reviewing. I was remembered that where I lived back in California, I lived in this apartment complex and it had a huge, like I'm like huge tree. And then we had to clean it because it was right in front of like our house and we had to put the trash cans there. It turns out that this tree was a wild olive tree. And it was huge, and at that moment, I thought it was very beautiful, but then I hated to clean out all the mess that it would leave. So, yeah. As I was reading, you know, Romans 11:17, talking about us being a wild olive tree, all of those memories came to my head, and I was just thinking, wow, that was an olive tree. So then that led me to research what is a cultivated olive tree and what is a wild olive tree. And I just appreciate to see the difference that now I can see what I thought was kind of beautiful but annoying at the same time is actually who we are when we are not crafted into the Lord. So, and a wild olive tree is just huge, it's like spiny, like the branches grow all crazy, the fruit is smaller and there's not much oil. But it says that a cultivated tree is much, you know, form, more shaped like a tree. The fruits are bigger and it has much oil. So I was like, wow, Lord, you know, like in our experience, we go through all of these things and we don't, I guess at that time I didn't realize it, but I just appreciated that this is why we need to be crafted into the Lord. Because when we are wild, we might be big and everything that we are, our concepts are good things. But I just appreciated in the opening, you know, that when we enter into this crafted life with the Lord, all of those things, all the germs, all of the negative aspects in us have been swallowed up by Christ. But then all of our, you know, abilities and positive things in our being are being uplifted by the Lord. So Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And here is talking about the grafted life. That as soon as we turn and believe in the Lord, we enter in this organic union. And in this organic union, as you know, most of us have shared, is that there is a growth. So there's a growing that takes place when we are being grafted in the Lord. Amen. And it says that this crafting is in the footnote. It says, such crafting, one, discharges all our negative elements. Two, resurrects our God-creative faculties. Three, uplifts our faculties. Four, enriches our faculties. And five, saturate our entire being to transform us. And just quickly, I know there's so much, but yesterday I went to like a museum and this lady was talking about ancient ways of like healing people, especially those who had smallpox. And she said they had to be cut so that the blood would like drain and then the new blood will regenerate. So just going back to the cutting of the Lord, we see that just as the Lord was cut for us in love, we also are being cut in him. And so when we are cut, we enter, we are dyed to the law, and we resurrect in Christ to live to God. So praise the Lord for this crafting life.
Amen.
I think this week some of us enjoyed hymn 482, this third stanza. This, the secret nature hideth. Harvest grows from buried grain.
Amen.
A poor tree with better grafted, richer, sweeter life doth gain. So we see this picture of God's desire, even in nature. This matter of grafting, this secret was always there. Of course, eventually it got revealed to us.
Amen.
Right? And so with this matter of grafting, like the same, like what was brought out, it's not an exchange life, but the Lord wants to bring us into this organic union.
Amen.
Right? I think our brother shared, when he looks at himself in the mirror, you know, he's looking at the wild olive tree. Right? We're so, you know, ugly and natural in our human life. But we need to be encouraged that we have been grafted into Christ.
Hallelujah.
Right? This most wonderful one. I think a lot of times when we look at ourselves, we get disappointed. But, you know, when we look at the Lord, we get encouraged. Right?
Amen.
What the Lord's life is able to do in us and accomplish in us is still for us to experience. So we need to continually look to him. Right? He wants to not only for us to enjoy Him, but He wants us to see a vision. Amen. Of the grafted life. Right? This last Roman numeral, 7, in the grafted life, the human life is not eliminated, but is strengthened, uplifted, enriched by the divine life. Praise the Lord for His divine life. He's uplifting us. He's strengthening us and enriching us. So on our part, we just need to simply thank Him.
Amen.
Enjoy what He has done for us and what position He has placed us in. So saints, do not be discouraged by what you are. Don't be discouraged by your natural human life.
Right.
The Lord does not want to throw us away. Actually, in the new creation, the Lord does not get rid of the old creation, right? But He uses the old creation to bring in the new creation. And so I think about just some of my experiences over the years. I think growing up, I was a very stubborn kid. You know, that's just what I am by nature, my natural makeup. But I just thank the Lord for His life, and just He's just brought me to just abide in Him. Over the years, you know, I feel kind of resurrecting, right, from this this natural ability of even stubbornness. The Lord He did not throw away my stubbornness, but He strengthened it. He uplifted that I could be stubborn for Him, right? I could stubbornly speak the Word of God. I could stubbornly go out and speak to others, even in the face of opposition, right? And so all of our natural qualities, of course, the negative things get discharged. But the Lord still needs us.
Amen.
Right? He still needs our person. He does not throw us away.
Right.
He wants to uplift, strengthen, add Himself to us.
Amen.
And so just to wrap up, the Lord needs every single one of us.
Amen.
Do not think that we are nothing and that we deserve to be thrown away. The Lord, our sister was looking at that tree. The Lord, He delights to take care of us, to strengthen us, to add us His life to us, to supply us with Himself. And so, may we all just take care of the abiding. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it tells us we need to behold the Lord. We need to drop all the veils of trying to improve ourselves, all of the trying to be a better Christian. That becomes an insulation to the abiding.
Amen.
With a turned heart, we get unveiled.
Amen.
And all the veils are removed. And when we behold the Lord, we abide in Him, and we are staying in this union.
Amen.
May we be encouraged.
This week, my enjoyment similar with Sister Adi, we see there are two trees, olive trees. One is wild olive tree.
Right.
And one is cultivated trees.
Right.
In wild olive trees,
right,
we are the branches. We are not the tree. The tree of the wild olive tree is Satan. The root is Satan. So the wild olive tree might be give a lot of fruits,
amen,
small fruits, but it's poisonous. Our natural will be poisonous. It will bring death. Just like in Genesis, it's the tree of good and evil. It's not the life tree. So we are the expressions of the wild olive tree, the branches. So right now the branches need to be cut. We need to be separated from the origin of the wild. We need to be put into the cultivated olive tree. If we are not cut from the wild is still producing a lot of fruits, but it's not giving life. It's not a lot of oil, like Sister Adi mentions. And then when we cut and then join to the cultivated tree, olive tree, we will producing still many fruits of oil, olive, but with a lot of oil. The secret of the main requirement is need to be joined. when we join to the cultivated olive tree, we will absorb different sources of the fatness of the fruit. The source is different. So when we join to the cultivated olive tree, the only things that we need to do is to absorb the fatness of the cultivated olive tree. That is by join into the spirit to become one spirit. So we will produce the fruits that is contrary, that mentioned in the Daisy, contrary to our nature. We are still the branch of the wild tree, but we have the life that has been changed, you know, has been transformed by God to produce a lot of good olive fruits that will produce life supply. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, thanks, John. Ah. Whoa.
Wow.
Galatians 2:20. Mm. So we have two eyes, actually.
Yes.
And it's important that we see this. We have an old eye.
Right.
This is the God created eye. God created us. And then Satan came in and corrupted us with sin from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we have the created plus the corrupted. So we have defects. We have shortcomings. We have defects. But we also have a created part of our being. So that is the I have been crucified with Christ. That's the old I. That's so I need to deny that. I need to deny the self, myself. So that, why? So that Christ may live in me. And then, by Christ living in me, I live. And that's the new I. The new I is the old I crucified and resurrected to be the new I. So in the new I, in the grafting, this is the grafting. So this new I is the grafted life. So there used to be a tree that had mostly white flowers. It was a fruit tree. It had white flowers. But one branch was grafted in. It had pink flowers. So this simple example shows that grafting is not an exchanged life. If it was exchanged, the pink flowers would become white flowers. They were not white. They were pink. So the pink lived in union with the white. So there were two lives lived together as one. So for us, this looks like Christ living in me. Now John 15:4-5 talk about abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in us.
Amen.
His abiding in us is His living in us.
Amen.
So by us taking Him as our realm, that is, we deny our natural self, our natural fallen, corrupted self. We take Him as our realm, we abide in Him,
Amen.
And He abides in us. He lives in us. And then we can say, Galatians 2:20 then says, I live.
Amen.
I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live.
Amen.
Why do I live? I live because Christ is living in me.
Amen.
This is a grafted life.
Amen.
So, all the defects, so in this union where Christ is living in me, and nevertheless I live, all my defects are washed away.
Right.
And they get, my God created life, my characteristics, my created being is enriched, strengthened. It's up, listen to these words, enriched, strengthened. Uplifted.
Amen.
It's resurrected.
Amen.
It's transformed.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. Our grafting into Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, John.